like a battlefield.
There's a battle for the soul of America.
We can't let him tear the kingdom down.
This is no game. This is war.
Flesh and blood. But it's between the bad and good. We can't stop until the trumpets sound. This is war. Not a game we're playing. This is a war.
The only question is, which side will you be on? It's time now for a call to decision with Pastor Butch Paul.
Satan's armies come to kill. This is war.
Hello and welcome, my friends. This is Pastor Butch Paul, and yes, we are live tonight. It is 27 May, Memorial Day, but we are live tonight with a program. Normally when I do a Memorial Day program, I dedicate to Memorial Day, but I didn't do it tonight. We're going to bring up a guest tonight. Her name is Emily Pritchard. We're going to discuss something tonight that I think of vital importance. We discussed the idea of we call it abortion. That's what the media calls it. We should call it murder. And I know over the last 50 years we beat that horse to death, so to speak, trying to make a difference in it. But now we have a chance, since Roe v. Wade's overturned, to make a big difference, at least in some areas. We're going to discuss that in a little bit and take your phone calls as usual. Now, Lord willing, we're going to have Bible study this weekend. If nothing changes, at 10:30 a.m. Eastern, you can join us live for a prayer request session, a prayer report session, testimony session from 10:30 to 11 Eastern time. By calling, you can call in and talk to us. You can listen, you can watch on our website at PastorButch.com, PastorButch.com. Click on Rumble, and there we will be. Or you can call and listen on 339-209-5013 to listen to us live Saturday morning, 10:30 a.m. Eastern. I hope you'll join us, folks. I really, really do. We always have Christian Worldview News first, and then we do the Bible study. I want you to join us if you can at all. And don't forget, for the next couple of days, I'll be advertising the grab bag that Crystal Joy made up here in the broadcast in the office for you to offer the program, folks. We're overstocked on some items, and some items are no longer cataloged, but they're all important items. A bunch of DVDs, some seminars we did many years ago, the warning about being an organ donor. Now, you may think that sounds silly, but it isn't. You read the book, you'll find out. The book entitled The Witch That Switched, a book I've had for many years here, a very good book, about a lady named Elaine Nost, who actually come out of witchcraft, and she tells her story. We offer two books come in. We have a couple books on people that had visions of hell. Folks, this is for real stuff. A bunch of these, all of these, a grab bag, shipping all, $55 delivered. $55 delivered. Now, we're doing that because we want to give them somebody that will use them. You can make copies of them if you want, pass them out to your friends and family. But we want you to be able to use these items, maybe to educate somebody, help somebody understand what's going on, and get some truth into their hearts. And that's the best I know to do, folks, is offer it. We're just at a giveaway price. It's going to cover shipping and packaging. That's about it. Postage is out of sight. But they're available. Call 800-777-4403. Or 304-846-4448. 304-846-4448. Now, our guest tonight is a lady named Kelsey Pritchard. She was former South Dakota Governor Dennis Dogard's communication director, and she joined the SBA. That's a pro-life organization that's decided to take a stand to try to save babies' lives on a national level. Now, folks, this is a very important program tonight because we're going to discuss the chance we have now as individuals and states to make a difference. Ms. Pritchard spent 7 years working in the governor's office, serving as an administrations and communications strategist and press secretary. She came to the Susan B. Anthony Pro-Life America after spending 4 years in the private sector. Pritchard worked in the ad industry for Bozell in Omaha, Nebraska, where she led the PR and social media department. And she served on the executive leadership team and marketing director for Dream Design International. Pritchard says she was eager to join the pro-life organization known for strategic political acumen and furthering protections for the unborn. We're going to discuss tonight in some detail the victory that was, we'll say a victory in the sense that Roe v. Wade was overturned. But so far, We haven't done a lot with our victory to make a huge difference in the unborn. Now, I'm serious about that. Some states, including West Virginia, where I live, has passed some very strong pro-life bills. But nonetheless, the states now can make a big difference. Six of them have not done that yet. We're going to discuss that in a little bit more detail. Now, Ms. Pritchard, are you there?
Yep, I'm here, Pastor Butch.
It is good to have you, and I mean this sincerely. I want you to please, if you would, tell the people who Kelsey Pritchard is.
Yeah, I live in South Dakota. I am a wife and a mother of three. I have a six-year-old boy, three-year-old boy, and an 11-month-old girl, and love being a mom, and also just love the work that God has allowed me to do in working for Susan B. Anthony. And, I work in communications. I get to have a lot of fun talking to people in the States and people in the media like you, Pastor Butch. And it's just a blessing to be able to be in the line of work of saving babies and helping mothers.
Well, now, when you worked for the governor's office, you were there for, I think, 7 years in the governor's office. You're doing that. You were a communications director there, so to speak?
Yeah, I started, it was my first job out of college. I actually started as a constituent service director, and that's just a fancy word for somebody who takes all of the phone calls from anybody who wants to relay something to the governor. So I started there and then worked my way up and became communications director, did a lot of the press secretary work and a lot of the writing for the governor's speech writing, and it was kind of his ghostwriter.
And how well did that go? Did you enjoy that job?
I did. At the time, I just felt like I was right where God wanted me to be. I had gone to grad school previously at the University of Dallas, and I had studied politics, and something that I was focusing on while I was there was speeches over the course of American history and rhetoric, and which is a very funny thing to focus on. Not a lot of jobs relating to that, but right out of that, I ended up getting this job, and part of my role was speech writing and being a ghostwriter, and so I felt very fulfilled there and was just really grateful to work for a governor who had such strong values. And he was just such a good human being, too. Just a not your typical politician, but someone with just a good heart and a heart for people.
Well, now, when you say you're a ghostwriter, did you write speeches for the governor?
Yeah, I wrote speeches. I wrote he would do a weekly column. I would write anything that was by him and in his name. I would usually start the draft and then give it to him, and he would review things, and we got to a good point where, he would just sign his name and he wouldn't have to look at everything. And I was really blessed to work with him and kind of get his tone down, get his priorities down as I was working on any given thing, whether it was a speech or a column or a letter.
That was a huge responsibility.
Yeah, and it's funny that I was a kid right out of college and grad school and very young, and our press secretary was retiring when I was in that constituent services role, and my boss said, "Kelsey, you can write. I think you can do this job," and he kind of threw me in it, and it was fantastic. It was the best experience.
I'd say for a little while it was nerve-wracking, wasn't it?
A little bit. But there's just something to when, you are where God wants you to be, and he's going before you, and just gives you that confidence that it's not just you on your own.
Well, now, when you did that, I mean, you could have said a misquote. That could have roasted him for that. I mean, yeah. That's quite a responsibility. It really is. Now, did he go over the speeches, I assume, before he made them with you?
Yeah, we would have this meeting where we would sit down together and we would say, okay, here's all the speeches you're going to give in the next few weeks. He would tell me what was important to him in all of those speeches so that I would take notes and try to outline the speeches based on what he wanted to talk about. And then I would write them up. I'd send them to the chief of staff. He would give them a quick yes or no, or send it back for with changes. And then we'd get it to the governor, and he'd look at it, make any tweaks, and then he would give the speech.
Wow. Well, congratulations. I mean, that is amazing.
Thank you.
I mean, that's amazing.
It was the best time.
I mean, that is amazing. So you were really involved in politics.
Yeah, I came really from a political background and had always followed politics since I was little, and always knew that I wanted to work in an area where I could align my belief with my work. And I just feel really blessed to have had that experience. And then now this experience, I'm working for Susan B. Anthony.
And tell the folks about the SBA. Who is that? What is that? What do you do?
Yeah, we exist to end abortion and the destruction of unborn life. And we have a focus at the national level. We are also in the states. I'm on a state affairs team, and so we lobby in the states, in state legislatures. We also are involved on the political side of endorsing candidates and trying to get pro-life candidates to run for office and win office. And we essentially exist to save as many lives as we can as fast as we can. And we do that by understanding the different political realities that exist and trying to, you know, get as many protections laws in place and as many pro-life laws in place that we can that protect unborn babies.
And are you seeing, is it difficult in some, well, I know it in some places, but overall, is it difficult to get legislatures moving on this issue?
So, you know, we're, 2 years past the Dobbs decision, which overturned Roe v. Wade, and we have 24 states that have pro-life laws protecting life. Most of them have life at conception or heartbeat laws. Some of them have, a couple of them have a 12-week and 15-week law. You know, so varying degrees of how good the law is. But we're almost at that halfway point where we have almost half of states that have a pro-life law. Unfortunately, though, what we're seeing is that the states that don't have a pro-life law aren't really in a political position where they're going to pass anything soon because they have a Democrat pro-abortion governor, for instance, or their legislature is pro-abortion or Democrat. And in the states that do have pro-life laws, we're seeing these ballot measure efforts to try to take those laws off the books. We're also seeing the ACLU, Planned Parenthood, groups like that, try to come into some of these states with lawsuits to try to chip away at the laws that exist and try to get those off the books.
And success-wise, how are they doing?
Ballot measures, we have won zero ballot measures thus far, and so that's really the bad news. And for instance, last year we lost Ohio. In 2023, there was a ballot measure in Ohio, and you know we were really in the fight, and we lost that race, and we even lost some Christians who voted for the ballot measure, and that ballot measure is extreme. It essentially allows abortion in all 9 months of pregnancy. It takes away health and safety protections for women. So those regulations that are on the books for the abortion industry, it takes those things away. And then it also removes parental rights. So parents don't have a say if their teenage daughter wants to get an abortion. This takes any parental rights laws off the books. And so unfortunately, the other side, what they do is they have so much money that they run all of these ads that deceive people about what the measures actually do, and they call it women's health care over and over. And so it can be confusing for people if they're not following it really closely, and they might think they really are voting for women's health care rather than voting for a measure that's going to end the lives of thousands of babies every single year. And so it's a major concern for us, and it's something that we're really looking at 2024, as we have a number of states which could have abortion on the ballot this election.
Well, now, do you think, in your opinion, those who voted for the murder rights bill, do you think a fourth of them, a third of them were confused by the wording and didn't understand what it really said. They didn't understand that it was going to take away parental rights. Did they understand that, or they just know and didn't care?
I you know, that's a good question. What would the breakdown be? I think if everybody knew exactly what they were voting for, we would win. And I think that based upon the polling that we see nationwide, when you ask people when abortion should be limited, two-thirds or three-quarters of Americans, depending upon the poll you're looking at, want to limit abortion after the first trimester or at that 15-week mark. And so these ballot measures take it way farther than that. So even just looking at the abortion part of this and not necessarily parental rights, I think if people understood even that piece, I think we would win. It's really just the deception and all of the millions of dollars that pour in from Planned Parenthood, because this is all about ROI, right? This is about they can throw some money from their marketing budget in here and then increase their profits when these things pass. And then, of course, George Soros and a lot of these wealthy leftist groups that just show up to these fights and pour in the kind of money that it's really hard to compete with. And then they've got the mainstream media on their side, too. And so they run these ads that are confusing and deceptive. They've got the media, which won't fact check and which are really running cover and lying sometimes for that campaign. And it's sometimes hard for people to see the truth and understand what's really going on here.
Well, of course, understanding and call myself, I mean, I am a pastor. I'm a true believer. And even to take a chance of having a child murdered, I would lean to the other side, no matter how good that bill sound. If I even thought it was a decent bill, I still would not vote for it, because any murder is murder. But again, this is important, because we're now discussing the first chance in 50 years that states literally could do something to totally outlaw the murder of children. And I know I've been in this battle a long time, sis. I've been on radio over 31 years, been preaching about 50 years. And I've discussed this issue back and forth, well, for the life of the mother, for the it's insane. You can always find a reason to justify what you want to do. Now, that's the way of mankind. We can always justify our actions if we want to bad enough. That's just who we are. We make excuses for any kind of sin. Well, my wife wouldn't go be with me, so I slept with another woman. We can all make all kinds of excuses. And they sound good in our mind and in our flesh. But it comes down to the fact that thou shalt not murder, especially an unborn child. That's not debatable. That's plain that simple is what it should be. So I'm just shocked, disgusted, and frustrated that any individual that has any shred of moral decency would support a bill that would want to let a mother, a woman, kill her baby and make it totally lawful and legal so that doctors and hospitals may profit from it, which they do by the billions and trillions of dollars. We both know that. It's a money-making racket, not to mention no-way birth control. But I'm just shocked to discuss that the six states have rejected the chance to at least restrict it to somewhat, we'll say, I hate to use the word common sense level, but some kind of level where, you know, you can have to say, well, we gained some ground. Ohio, for example, just threw the whole thing out. There's no, is there a chance of getting that reversed in Ohio, for example? Is that something y'all may be working on?
You know, they can try to, they've got, the Republicans have the legislature, and the Republicans have the governor's office in Ohio. And so they can do what they can to try to not roll things back legislatively. So, for instance, you know, taking some of these laws off the books, some of these regulations on the abortion industry. The problem is that the ACLU has already flown in from D.C., and it was on Good Friday that they filed a lawsuit on some of these laws that are on the books that they say are inconsistent with the ballot measure. So they're trying to get rid of informed consent, 24-hour waiting period, a couple of laws like that through litigation. And so, you know, if the legislature doesn't change the laws based on the ballot measure and the constitutional amendment, the ACLU is just going to come in and sue. And they're slowly going to get what they want, which is no regulations and all abortion all the time. And, you know, so unfortunately, we pray for Ohio and hope there's a way that they can get around this and somehow keep some of these protections on the books. At the same time, they're an example of what's at stake in these states, in Florida and Arizona and South Dakota, where I live, and Missouri, and other states where voters are considering these ballot measures this November.
Well, you know, I would assume that's possible to reverse a constitutional amendment, is it not?
Yeah, they would have to. I mean, I think you would have to go vote on another amendment.
Right.
So you would have to replace that with something. So that's an option for these states, but it's not an easy option. And it's also a very costly option because we know the abortion industry will show up to that side as well.
Well, when this abortion amendment passed and murder amendment passed in Ohio, it actually did increase the woman's ability to kill the baby over what the law was before Roe v. Wade was overturned.
Yeah, it goes much further than Roe v. Wade.
Now, folks, listen to that. The point we'll make is we had a chance on the state level to make a huge statement when it comes to murdering children. And not only did we fail to do that, but Ohio, just one example, made the ability for a woman to murder her child much more liberal and easy to do with a constitutional amendment. Instead of people saying, no, we're not going to have that here, the people lined up and said yes. And you wonder if God sees this or not. Go ahead, sis.
Mm-hmm. And I want to circle back to something that you brought up. You brought up the life of the mother. And the number one lie that we're seeing in these ballot measures is the abortion lobby will say that if you don't vote for these ballot measures, women are going to die. Because they're not going to get the health care they need. They're going to, you know, have some sort of condition. They're going to get sepsis, and they will die because they weren't able to get their abortion. Well, that's a bold-faced lie, because every single state that has a pro-life law has a life of the mother provision. And every state allows the emergency care for a pregnant woman in the event they would need something like that. You can make the argument you likely would never need an abortion because you could do early delivery of a baby. They might not survive, but it's really hard to understand the need to actually kill the baby in the womb in order for a woman to survive. But that's the lie that they're running on, and that's what scares some people into voting for these things, because if they think, oh, if my sister, my wife, I myself wouldn't be able to get emergency care as a pregnant woman, and it's dangerous to be pregnant in this state, they're playing on this fear. And the fear mongering is really how they're winning, and they're telling this lie over and over. And the legacy media doesn't fact check them. And in doing that, they're essentially putting women in danger, because they're creating this misinformation where perhaps a pregnant woman will delay getting care, or she will get on an airplane and try to fly somewhere else because she thinks the doctors in her state won't care for her, when the law is clear in every single state that that's allowed.
You know, not only does the media, I mean, the media is overall, almost all mainstream media, is pro-murder. You know that. Almost all of them. I mean, they're totally against the Christian values and Christian foundations, against all immorality, including transgenders and sodomy and all that. They're totally against us on that. So it doesn't surprise me that they run with the lie, because they have the ability to spread that lie and make it more believable every time that somebody hears it. So I think your biggest and everybody's biggest challenge is to get this change, is some way to educate the people. How do y'all propose to do that?
Yeah, I mean, I'll give Florida as an example, because that one will for sure be on the ballot. Florida, we are trying to challenge the media and have a counter narrative there. And one way that we could be successful in doing that is the fact that Governor Ron DeSantis has been vocal against the ballot measure. And so, of course, he's governor. He's got a platform. Whenever he says something, the media covers it, and we know what he said. And so him pointing out that the ballot measure there, that they're lying about parental rights, that it's essentially abortion until birth, him saying those things and bringing that to the forefront can really help give us a fighting chance in dispelling some of the rumors and the myths about these ballot measures. And so that's really what we need to see in all of these states that have abortion on the ballot. We need to have strong pro-life leaders who are willing to stand up and say what these things really are, and not afraid, not listening to the mainstream media narrative that, Republicans, you can't talk about abortion or you'll lose. They really need to be bold and be clear. And it's a really good just opportunity to contrast how extreme these ballot measures are to the compassionate pro-life view that they hold as a Republican or, you know, as a pro-life individual. And we need more people to speak out like that, because we're never going to be able to compete completely with the money. But if we have a counter narrative and people are already distrustful of the media, if we can keep that counter narrative going through these people who are influential and, you know, through folks like you, Pastor Butch, in making people aware, I think we've got a fighting chance here this year.
Well, if this ballot, if this isn't stopped in Florida, I can't think of any state in the union where it's going to be stopped at. With the governor on our side, so to speak, on this issue, if it isn't stopped there, I don't know. If they can get this passed there and make it a constitutional amendment in Florida, I'd say we're in deep doo-doo, folks. Back at the break with phone calls and more comments and questions with our guest, Kelsey Pritchard. Number to call in, have any questions, comments, and feel free to call in, folks. 844-769-2944. 844-769-2944. And keep in mind, when it comes down to your state, you got a voice. You don't speak up, it's your fault, too.
Satan's army roams the land, seeking souls of fallen men.
Hi, folks. Pastor Butch Paul here. I'm certain that I don't need to tell y'all we're living in unstable times, or as the Bible says, perilous times. We're starting to see shortages of many products in America, cars, clothing, furniture, and even food. We can't do much about the cars, clothing, and furniture, but we can with the food, simply by calling Demand of Foods, the best in store foods bar none. They have a shelf life over 25 years, are great tasting, no GMOs, no chemical preservatives, no aspartame or high fructose corn syrup, and no MSGs. Give Demand a call at 888-597-0775. That's 888-597-0775. Or go to Nemana.com. Mention that Pastor Butch sent you and get a 10% discount. That's 888-597-0775. You'll be glad you did.
Are you paying an arm and a leg for a healthy alternative lifestyle? Are you tired of products not meeting your expectations? Is it becoming harder for you to have faith in restoring your body to the temple it began as? I know your struggle is real, and I'd be honored to help you and those you care about feel better and thrive. With organic ingredients and no fillers made right here in our own country, many of which are wildcrafted right here in the mountains of Montana, we at Superior Mountain Herbs are blessed to be able to get you the best herbal products with no hassles or misleading information. Truth and transparency is what you get with us. For a free list of products available to hear this month's special as well, please call Summer at 406-274-7579 or email me at green with an E at the end, assistantsummer@gmail.com. That's green with an E at the end, assistantsummer@gmail.com.
There's a lot of talk all over the internet these days about the remarkable benefits of carbon 60, and baby boomers are especially excited about it. Whatever generation you're in, if you want more energy, better health, and a boost in vitality, we invite you to try Gresca's Carbon 60, a stunning development in free radical destruction. Being much smaller in size than conventional antioxidants derived from fruits and vegetables, it is far more bioavailable to quickly mend the toxin-crippled cells in your body. Gresca's Carbon 60 is the only C60 product that is made without the use of undesirable solvents. The only one. Gresca's Carbon 60 was developed by a brilliant NASA carbon scientist and 95% report positive results from this Nobel Prize-winning technology in just 4 days. Visit C-60.com. That's C-60.com or call 720-600-6040.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
This is war, not a game we're playing. This is a war. Brothers, hear me what I'm saying. Pick up your sword and shield. Get on the battlefield. Satan's armies come to kill.
All righty, folks, we're back, and we're in the downhill half of the nice program talking to Kelsey Pritchard with Susan B. Anthony Pro-Life Group. And, folks, I want you to listen to what she's going to say because we're going to tell you how you can find out who they are, what they do. But now listen to what I'm going to say one more time. I said it right before break, I'm going to say it again. This is going to come down to your level, the state level. It's going to come down to where you, I mean each and every one of you, black, white, pink, purple, polka dot, makes no difference. Educated, non-educated, old, young, makes no difference. You are going to have the ability to speak up, and even what's more important, you have a duty given by God Almighty to speak up the truth and save these babies. It's being brought down the level now that you can't say that I didn't have a chance to speak up. You do. You say, well, I'm just one man. I understand that. You'd be surprised what one individual can do. I'm just one man on radio, been there for 31 years. Maybe I didn't make a lot of difference, but I like to think I made some difference, folks. Speaking up, whether it's one or 1,000, God's not limited by numbers. Numbers don't impress him too much. But now you have a duty, an ability, to go out and make a difference on your local level in the state where you live. I don't care what your government looks like, your state, whether we call it liberal or conservative, makes no difference. Your duty, if you want to save the unborn babies, is to speak your mind and try to counteract these lies being spread all over the media. Now, the phone line's open, like I said, 844-769-2944. Now, I spoke my mind, folks, on that. We're going to move on. Now, Susan B. Anthony, who is that? How long has it been going on, and what are you doing?
Yeah, we were founded in 1992, and our job is really our organization is we consider ourselves the political arm of the pro-life movement, and we're focused on ending abortion by electing national leaders and advocating for laws that save lives. And we also exist to promote pro-life leaders, pro-life women leaders in particular. And, you know, we are at the national level, we are at the state level, and we're doing as much as we can politically to protect life in this country.
And you've been doing that how long now?
Since 1992.
So you've been there a few years. And are you in every state?
We don't actively lobby in every single state. We're actually very focused on the states where we can make a political impact. So, for instance, we're not lobbying in California with Governor Gavin Newsom and the liberal legislature there. But we're in much of the Midwest, in the South, in some of the West as well, and even in Virginia, too, and West Virginia as well. We love West Virginia.
So you are basically bolstering those states that are trying to make a difference. You're there trying to help them continue their movement in the right direction.
Yep. Yes. Through lobbying or through elections.
And how do people learn more about what you all do?
Yeah, you can visit our website at sbaprolife.org. You can check that out and see. We also have a news page as well that we just launched. We launched an SBA news site where if you would like to get some pro-life news, you can get that directly from our writers. And you can also reach out to me on X, Kelsey_PRITCH, if you have questions about getting more involved with the pro-life movement or anything, feel free to reach out.
So, if people want to talk to you, they can email you and talk to you and ask you questions and make comments.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I think the best way to do that, reach out to me personally on X and direct message me, and happy to get people connected.
Well, now, if somebody, I know there are other talk show hosts listening to this program, if they want you on their broadcast also, would you be able to help them out?
Absolutely, yes. Happy to talk to anybody who wants to know more about the fight that we're in for life right now.
Folks, this young lady is in it to win it, okay? You might say, well, that's not going to happen. I'm tired of hearing that. Whether it happens or not, duty is ours, consequences are God's. We have a duty. We're not just told go out there and take a stand, we might win. If you read the scripture, I taught this the last Bible study. When the three Hebrew children were standing before the king, so we're not going to bow to your idol. They said, our God can deliver us if he wants to. If he doesn't, king, he may not deliver us, but we're still not going to bow to your idol. They were not guaranteed a victory. When Jonathan and his armor bearer were going to the mountain to take on the Philistines, he said, maybe the Lord will give us a victory. But either way, we're going to stand and fight. You see, this is not a matter sometimes, folks, of what the end results are. It's who you obey and what you do. How you do your duty in the name of God. Who you obey, how you stand for truth and righteousness, and especially, folks, now for the unborn children that are right now in the wombs of the mothers. Some of these mothers contemplating killing that child. And as we speak, I'm sure somewhere somebody's taking a pill to murder that baby. Now, I've never seen that. I've just seen on video. I've never seen a person, obviously, I'm not a doctor. I've never seen a live murder. I've seen it on video. But you see, we close our eyes thinking, well, if we don't see it, it ain't real. It's not going to happen. We have done that in this country longer than I've been alive. When it comes to murdering babies, for 50 years we've haggled back and forth, and all we're going to let certain people stop is, folks, it didn't happen. Now, we have it on a state level finally. Maybe, perhaps, by the grace of God, will make some difference. But whether we win or lose in the sight of the people in this world, it's what we're doing to do for the glory of God that matters in the long run. So let's get over this idea, well, we're not going to win it. I'm sick of hearing that. I personally believe America's finished. I believe America's going to be judged severely, already is being judged severely, with the wars and the weather and all the other things, the immorality and the chaos and the crime. She's being judged already. But for the glory of God, and for the hope of a better future from his 6 grandchildren and 3 great-grandsons, this old boy's going to speak up, stand up, and make a difference as best I can as long as I'm breathing. Just like Kelsey is. She's a young lady with 3 young children and a husband, taking time out of her life, trying to make a difference for all of us. This battle is not about me and you. It's about all of us and our children and our children's children. It's about all of us. If you're not involved, what you're saying really to God and your family is, I just don't give a damn what you think. That's what you're saying. I don't care. That's what it boils down to. If you're not involved in the battle of the simple murder, then please don't call and tell me how much you love Christ or how much you love your children, because you're a liar. About as clear as I can put it, Kelsey, as a hillbilly preacher, about as clear as I can put it.
I think we need some of that. We need some of that truth. So thank you for being so bold and standing on this issue.
Well, I can't understand for the life of me how we have any choice in this. It's not a matter that, well, gee, I make a choice, do I stand to save a baby or not? That's, to me, that's like watching someone rape your little girl and me stand by and watch her because I don't want to get involved. You see what I'm saying? It's the same basic concept, is it not? Except they're being murdered in private. It's the same basic concept to watch somebody rape my granddaughter. And I don't want to get involved. Besides, the Bible says I shouldn't become violent. You know, Christ was all love, never got angry, which are all lies. But nonetheless, that's the excuse we find. Well, I can't see it, so I'm not going to do anything about it. I'm not accountable for that. Yes, you are accountable for that. Let's go to phone line. Let's go to Joe right here in West Virginia. Joe, come on in. Welcome.
Thank you for taking my call, Butch. The one thing that I learned about here a few years ago through an organization that stood up against abortion, I can't remember the name of it. I even interviewed the woman. She talked a lot about how many women lose their lives every year, or how many women die after the so-called removal of the baby, the birth, or the removing of the child, the preborn, or a few weeks afterwards. No one ever seems to talk about that.
That's true.
And, you know, and they say that, and I've heard it said that from Planned Parenthood, I don't call it Parenthood, I call it Planned Parenthood with family banning, that they actually say that abortion is safer than taking Tylenol. I haven't heard of anybody died from Tylenol or permanently maimed from Tylenol or sent to the hospital from Tylenol. I haven't heard anybody have that happen. And it surprises me that the media doesn't talk about how many people die. Of course, the abortion industry will never, ever talk about how many people die at their hands, and they're not even accountable. In fact, they send people to the hospital, and, you know, the hospitals should make them accountable, but it's not happening.
That's true.
How many people are doing that? And, you know, the craziest thing is in Genesis chapter 1, it says, you know, the Lord says to the people he created, you know, replenish and repopulate the earth. He says in Genesis chapter 8 to Noah, replenish and populate the earth or prosper. How can we do that?
True.
And, you know, and if we go back to the teachings of Planned Parenthood, all the way back into the 1940s and 50s, their thing was pushing the birth control pill. So that there was a form of abortion beginning then. And, you know, and these poor women, a lot of them I don't think really want an abortion. I think a lot of them want to have their babies, but they're, you know, somebody's forcing them or twisting the arm to do it.
They're working their mind. They're telling lies and scaring them into having one.
Right. And there's some women in the church that have abortions because they don't want anybody to know they were committing adultery.
That's true. That is true.
And, you know, I don't know how much more I can say about this. I mean, it's a horrifying thing. And, you know, it's not just the preborn are dying. A lot of women are dying, too, at the hands of the abortionists or permanently maimed.
That's,
you know,
very,
what I think the
true.
Best birth control is a nickel and super glue between the knees. But nobody's talking about that.
Very good point. Very good point. Anything you want to say that, Kelsey?
Yeah, I mean, there was a woman who died. She was in Nevada. A young woman recently died, and she had one child. I think she had a son. He was maybe one or two. And she became pregnant again, thought she couldn't handle having another young child at the same time. I believe it was chemical abortion. It was an abortion pill she took, and a few days later died. She went septic, and she died. And the media has never mentioned her name. They don't talk about her. Just imagine the horrors. You know, her young son lost his mother, and, you know, she was told that it was safer than Tylenol. That's what the abortion industry says, and we know that drug is not safe. We know it causes hemorrhaging, a lot of the time we know it causes the need for emergency surgery, and in some cases it does cause death of the woman. It always causes the death of the child unless there's some miracle or unless they take the abortion pill reversal. But yeah, this happens, and these women are just erased. They're erased by our culture. They're erased by our media.
Wow. Anything else, Joe?
The only thing I want to add to that is, you know, if there's any young ladies today thinking of contemplating for an abortion, there is an alternative. And if anybody's pushing you in for an abortion, just tell them to go fly a kite. You're going to have the baby. And walk away from them.
Good advice. Good advice.
Yeah.
Thanks for the call, Joe. Appreciate it. Good call. You know, many
you're
years
welcome.
Ago, thank you. Many years ago, Kelsey, I was on a local radio station. I started on one radio station back in March 1993, 50,000 watt FM station. We were discussing the murder of babies back then. That's been a long time ago. And a young lady was riding down the highway in the backseat of her car with her mom and dad. She was pregnant. She was getting ready to go talk to somebody about having a baby killed. She heard the broadcast on the murdering children and changed her mind, told her mom and dad, and gave birth to the baby.
Wow.
Now, folks, that's what truth can do if it's brought to the people. And if you're so ashamed of the truth, or so afraid of the truth, or so afraid somebody may not like you because you stand for the truth, please read Matthew chapter 10. Where it says that you deny Christ before men and he'll deny before the Father. Please read that. You don't have an option. You don't have an option. If you're a Christian, a truly born-again believer in Christ, you do not have an option but to stand for what's right, period. No matter what the issue is. Anything less than that is compromise and toleration. And toleration always leads to damnation. Let's speak to Gary in Arizona. Gary, come on in. Welcome.
Hi, Butch. I'm not really feeling too well today, so bear with me here. But this is what I want to tell everybody that's listening right now. If just the people that go or attend a church would get involved, we could overthrow all the terrible things that they say about us, you know, who love God and want to see the children be born. We could bring that to an end. Now, as you know, in the past, right here where I'm at, I've been to about 20 churches, and only about three or four of them have let me speak to this issue to the congregation. But it always upsets me when I go there, because whether it's a large church that's got 300 people or 500 people or it's got 20 people, everybody is sitting there with a Bible in their hand. And they can read these things themselves. So I'm just going to read a couple things here really, really quick. In Proverbs 31:8, open the mouth for the dumb in the cause of such that are appointed to destruction. In Job 33:4, the Spirit of God has made me, and the breath of Almighty has given me life. Job, again, did not he who made me in the womb make him, and did not he fashion us in the womb? Now, there's many, many more of these things that I could quote that come strictly from the Word of God. So if the people who have the Word of God in their hands, if they read their Bible, they read that too. Like I said, just about every church that I went to said that they were pro-life. But that's what they do inside the congregation itself. See, you learn stuff when you go to church that you're supposed to carry out in the public so other people can hear, okay, what the Word of God and what His destination is for you and for the church that you're with, the state that you're with, and the country to which you live in. So it's going to be people talking to people that's going to bring this to an end. Now, if just church people themselves would go to the polls and vote, that God is the author of life, and every one of these little children was made in His image and His likeness, and children are a blessing and a gift from God. If just the people who go to church would go out and vote, we could overturn this the next election. But if you want to be silent, as Pastor Dietrich von Halter said, silence in the face of evil is itself evil. God will not hold us guiltless. Not to speak is to speak, and not to act is to act.
Amen.
And that, now, he was telling that to people who believe in God. So I'm telling you, the people that say that they believe in God, if they would vote to that, we could overturn this with a landslide. But you're going to have to take what you learn from church and from the Bible, the which you have in your hand, read it, heed it, and exercise it. We could bring this to an end. So I'll let somebody else get on here, but I thank you very much, Butch, for all that you have done to try to save the preborn, and also your guest that's on here right now. And may the blessings of God be upon you both. God bless.
Thank you,
we love
Gary.
You.
Thank you, Gary. Tell your pretty app we said hi. Good call. Thank you. Anything you want to add to that, please, Kelsey? Anything you want to add?
Just that Gary's absolutely right. Susan B. Anthony is in 8 battleground states. We have a field team in 8 battleground states this election. And we knock on the doors of voters who we think are persuadable, but we also knock on the doors of voters who we believe are pro-life. And it's unfortunately a reality that a lot of the time the voters who are Christians or who are pro-life sometimes don't go to vote even, and they don't go to vote their values. And so it's very important that we all show up and we vote and we cast a vote for life, and that we're a part of the solution this election year.
Well, what states had the ballot the motion on the ballot this year?
Yeah, so it's Florida, South Dakota, Missouri, Arizona, Montana, and Nebraska, and then there's one other one, Arkansas. Those are the 7 pro-life states that could have abortion on the ballot this year. There are also a couple of other states that are blue states. Colorado is one of them, where they could also have an amendment they're voting on. The thing is, in those states, not much will change, but in these 7 pro-life states, there are at risk laws that protect around 60,000 lives annually in those states. And so very, very important that we show up in those 7 states and we vote for life.
60,000, you said, a year have been saved already in some of those states?
So those states have laws on the books based on abortion data from previous years. Those laws save or protect 60,000 lives annually. And so if we lose those laws, those future lives are at risk once those ballot measures pass.
And how's it looking? What are the percentages, you think, on this in some of the states you mentioned?
The good news in Florida is that they have a 60% threshold that they would have to meet to pass this ballot measure there. So I don't think any of the ballot measures, whether it was Ohio or Michigan or another state, none of them passed by 60%. And so in the red state of Florida, which saw the red wave last election, we're hoping and praying that they can defeat that there. That seems like we have a shot at winning there. In South Dakota, where I live, there was a poll that showed the majority of women don't support the ballot measure here. So we've seen a few good polls. It's going to be close in a lot of these states, though. Even the red states, even a state like Arkansas, Missouri, things could be really close with all of the money that could pour in from Planned Parenthood and other sources.
Well, for people right now listening and thinking, gee, I'd like getting involved. I really would. I won't make a difference. But I don't know what I can do. Can you use them in the states where you're working right now?
Yeah. Go to our website, sbaprolife.org, or reach out to me on X, Kelsey_PRITCH. If you want to get involved with a coalition, if you're in a ballot measure state, we can connect you with the pro-life coalitions they have in those states that are fighting these ballot measures. And also, you know, if you just are interested in getting involved with the pro-life movement in general, every state has pregnancy centers, so centers that come alongside women who experience unplanned pregnancies and help them while they're pregnant and even after their child is born. They're really the hands and feet of the pro-life movement. So if you're interested in that, really, really think about that, pray about that, and, you know, ask how God would use you. But those centers are crucial, you know, in addition to voting and being civically engaged. Being a part of the hands and feet of the pro-life movement, that is such an important thing.
Well, now, for people that don't have computers, a lot of folks I know do not like computers, and I don't blame them, is there a number they can call, talk to somebody?
There probably is. I don't have it at my fingertips. I apologize. I usually send people the website, but if they want to get in touch with you, Pastor Butch, you know, pass it along to me, and I can give him a phone call.
All right, folks, if you want to talk to Kelsey personally, call the office number, 800-777-4403 or 304-846-4448. I'll pass some information on to Kelsey, and she'll call and talk to you personally. Wherever you are, let's get involved. Let's speak up and stand up for a change, not for us, but for the glory of God mainly, and for the unborn children. Thank you, Kelsey, so much. It's been a pleasure having you. We'll talk in the future, okay?
Thank you. Thank you, Pastor Butch.
God bless, sweetheart. Talk to you soon. Folks, we love you. By the grace of God, we'll see you tomorrow night. Stand with us, folks. Please stand with us. And we do need your help to pay the bills. Please don't forget that. We need your help. Good night.
Satan's army roams the land, seeking souls of